The title is Knowledge and Light from God. The text is Luke 1, 57 through 80. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, may we understand it. May it be a light to our way, a lamp for our footsteps as we travel through this world, so we may have understanding and guidance. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 1, 57 to 80, knowledge and light from God. Knowledge and light from God. So in Luke, we've seen several things. One of the things we saw was just the fact that Luke is presented to us as the truth. You know, so you may know the exact truth. The book of Luke. Luke wrote it, so you may know the exact truth. That's the very beginning of the book. And then we've seen several things, but now we saw Elizabeth's testimony came by the Holy Spirit about the infant that was coming through Mary, which would be Jesus. And then we heard Mary's testimony, which emphasized the power of God, okay, in all the things that he's done in the past and is doing. And now we'll see Zechariah's prophecy by the Holy Spirit. He's the father of John the Baptist. And his prophecy is emphasizing some of the things maybe that are coming up. And he says, that knowledge and light are coming to us through this Son, through God, through Jesus. So let's look at the text. So, now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. Now, Elizabeth is, the mother of John the Baptist, okay? So, her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her. Why was that? Well, remember, she's an old woman. Her husband's an old man. They hadn't had any kids. She was barren, but they had shown mercy. And so, they were rejoicing with her. What a great thing. You're an old woman, and you're having a baby. What a terrible thing. Those of you who are women who have had children, you know, it's even worse when you're old. Oh, boy, that's got to be a real struggle for them. But, of course, I'm sure they have family members like Mary who had come to help out and say hi and stuff. So, and it happened that on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. So the child's 8 days old, according to law. They circumcised the child, and they were going to call him Zechariah after his father. And yet his mother responded and said, remember, his father, Zechariah, had said that he didn't believe that this was going to happen. In fact, he'd been praying that it would happen, and the angel said, your prayers are answered. He said, impossible. How can this be? He didn't use the word impossible, okay? But he did not believe it, and even though it was his prayer that was being answered. So the angel said, you can't talk until the baby's born. So he still can't talk at this point. Verse 60, and yet his mother responded and said, no, indeed, but he shall be called John. I assume that he had communicated in writing to his wife that John was the name, okay? That can only be how she would know. It's an assumption on my part, unless she also received visitation from an angel. It's possible. But we're not told that, so it's more reasonable that he would have simply told her by writing it to her. And they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by this name. Don't you hate it when people tell you how to name your own child? Oh, that's an awful name. How can you call him John? That doesn't make any sense. Hey, it's my kid. And they made signs to his father as to what he wanted him called. Do people yell at you when they can't hear? I put in earplugs when I used to work at U.S. Steel. And then I'd start talking to people like this. I'm the one with the earplugs in. But I can't hear them, so I start yelling. If you've ever used earplugs, you know that's true. And here they are with Zechariah. He can't talk. So they're making signs to him like they can't talk. What is up with that? I guess that's the way it works, right? When you see someone with a, when somebody else has a problem, you act like them. I don't know. Why are they making signs? That doesn't make sense. But that's what people do. They don't make sense sometimes, right? Okay. Or it could be that he was making signs, you know, because they were saying, it's not John. He's going like this. And they're going, yeah, it is. Or no, it isn't. I mean, he's saying it is, and they're saying, no, it isn't. I had that backwards. Anyway, and they said to her, verse 62, and they made signs to his father as to what he wanted him called, and he asked for a tablet and wrote it as follows, his name is John. They were all amazed, and at once his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began speaking in praise of God. You know, if we have an ailment and it clears, are we like, I'm sure glad that's over? Or are we like, thank you, I'm praising God, you know? We negative or positive all the time. Well, he's praising God, he's positive. And we need to remember to be praising God all the time. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. And fear, verse 65, and fear came on all those who lived around them, and all these matters were being talked about in the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them kept them in mind, saying, what then will this child turn out to be? Yes, something is going on here, because the father was visited by an angel and told him the name, and he couldn't talk for 9 months or something like that, and they never had a kid, and here they are with a kid, a miracle birth of John the Baptist. For indeed, and we call him John the Baptist because he went about baptizing, right? He wasn't like, we're Baptists because we baptize, but that may be a different kind of baptism, possibly, depending on what you think about it, but I mean, we're not called Baptists because we're like following John the Baptist, okay? We're Baptists because we baptize people that are believers. And he was doing that. He was baptizing people when they confessed their sins. Not yet, though. He's just being born here, okay? He's not baptizing people yet. So they're wondering, it sounds like something's going on in this child's life. What will happen? So verse 67 tells us, and his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people. You know, if it's in italics there, just for your information, okay, that just means it's a word that the translators added, okay, to help you understand it, okay? So this actually says, for he has visited and accomplished redemption for his people. Okay? They inserted us to make it easier to understand. Just for your information. That's why some of the words are italicized. All right. And has raised up a... So, God visited us. This is not some random event. God visited us on purpose with this birth. And he's accomplishing redemption for his people. He says accomplished, okay? It's coming, and yet Zacharias says it like it's already happened. Isn't that interesting? So, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, just as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient times. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. So, you know, the people like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they never got to benefit from the promises. The promises were given to them, but the benefits were supposedly going to be a land, right? And beating down all the enemies, okay? But now when Jesus comes, we find out that he's not kicking the Romans out, but he's bringing salvation, right? And so now we'll be able to stand up to our enemies, because we stand on the rock, which is Jesus, and we are firm in our knowledge of where we're going. And so we can be brave, right? So there was mercy shown to our fathers in that the promises are being fulfilled. Verse 73, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, would serve him without fear. So the meaning of that is a little different from what you might have expected, right? We can serve him without fear because we are rescued eternally from our enemies, not temporarily in this life, in this time. We may be killed. We might not be killed. Okay? Verse 76, and you, child, also will be called the prophet of the Most High. So John the Baptist is going to be called the prophet of the Most High because he's a prophet, okay? And because he is here specifically to announce the arrival of Jesus, the Most High. So, you know, some say, is Jesus God? Well, he's the Most High, okay? What else could that mean? There's only one Most High, okay? The Most High. There's only one. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one, and they're the Most High. He is the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. And so, if you read in Malachi, it talks about the prophet coming before Jesus. And so we turn to the last book of the Old Testament. He says, chapter 3, verse 1, behold, I'm going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. Okay? Talking about John the Baptist. And then the rest is talking about Jesus coming, okay, in Malachi. So the prophecy's been there for hundreds and hundreds of years before, several hundred years before this event. And Zechariah is referring to it and other places in the Old Testament also. And so he's saying that he will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways. We're back in Luke chapter 1, verse 76. Now verse 77, to give his people the knowledge of salvation. So, whereas Mary had spoken mainly of what had gone on before, okay, and what was happening, now Zechariah is being a little more prophetic and talking about what's going to happen, okay? He's giving his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. And so salvation isn't rescue. Let's see, verse 71 says salvation from our enemies, right? Salvation from our enemies, verse 71, okay? Verse 77, salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Ah, so you're being saved from your enemy, which is death, Satan, and sin, and any other enemy in this world because you know where you're going. The knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God. And we have to remember, it's always mercy. It's undeserved. It's like in the Roman Colosseum, when the loser is about to be executed by the victor. If the emperor says, then they execute him. If not, the emperor showed mercy. He didn't have to show mercy. He just chose to. And same with us. Our mercy, it's because of God's tender mercy that we receive the forgiveness of our sins with which the sunrise from on high will visit us. That mercy is coming in the form of Jesus Christ. It's mercy we don't deserve. And I like this, sunrise, the sunrise. It's not S-O-N, it's S-U-N. He's a shining light. Who's coming? Verse 79, to shine, and I say coming, to them it was future. To us, it's already happened, all right? Jesus came already, right, for us. But for these people, he's about to come. This is all news to them. Now, we know it's prophesied in the Old Testament, but the New Testament tells us it was a mystery, the details, and exactly the meaning of it. And so to them, this is news. And Zechariah is explaining it a little bit now. And to shine on those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. As we know, that's a prophecy. He's repeating the prophecies of the Old Testament, how Jesus was going to come and shine in a dark place, especially the Gentiles, okay? Because the Gentiles didn't have the law. And so they were really in darkness, you know? And so so that's the meaning of that in part. But really, we're all in darkness if we don't know God, because he's the source of our knowledge, light, and salvation. To shine on those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And you know, peace, peace with God, peace in our hearts, and peace with each other, right? Verse 80. Now the child grew and was becoming, well, just before we jump to that, I want to emphasize that, you know, Zechariah is not going into big details. Let me say this about the light, okay? He's talking about Jesus being the sunrise who will shine on us, right? When John the Baptist starts his ministry, people are looking at him and they're like, are you Messiah? Are you a prophet? Or who are you? Well, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 8 says that there came a man sent from God whose name was John. Looking in the Gospel of John here. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. So Jesus is the light. John was not the light. It's a little bit like if you're standing here and there's a building here and someone's on the other side, you can't see them, but they got a flashlight and you see the beam shining on the ground out here. That little bit of light that's shining, that's sort of like John the Baptist. It's like, oh, the light's coming. You know, I can see it coming around the corner. Then when the light comes, now you see the actual light. And then the light enters you, and then you have the light. Right? So there's a progression there. But John wasn't the light, but he was here to testify about the light. It's like that light shining around the corner, you know. Oh, yeah, here it comes. Here comes the light. The light is coming. And as I said before many times, I love this about John, that, you know, it's like, even the announcer gets an announcer. Before John, there was a prophet who announced that John was coming. That was Malachi and maybe some others. And so Jesus is pretty important because his announcer has an announcer. Instead of, here's Johnny, it's, here's Ed McMahon. And then Ed McMahon says, here's Johnny. See, even if Johnny were that important, Ed McMahon would have an announcer that announces him. So John the Baptist, I mean, Jesus was so important, his announcer gets an announcer. John the Baptist announced Jesus, but John the Baptist was announced by Malachi. All right. But then, look at verse 80. Now the child grew and was becoming strong in spirit, and he lived in the deserts until the day of his public appearance to Israel. So this bears a little bit on the question of the order of things in the book of Luke. He says here, he was becoming strong in spirit and he lived in the desert. Well, living in the desert would have been like, he's at least a teenager at that point, right? Until the day of his public appearance to Israel. So, but then when we go to the next chapter, we find out that in Luke chapter 2, that it says, now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus, okay? And Mary was great with child at the time, okay? So this going back, okay? It talked about John being hanging out in the desert. Then it goes back to Mary being pregnant. So we say, is the book exactly in chronological order? No. He can put things together that are related. So he's talking about John the Baptist here. So he's going to have things in order about John the Baptist, then he's going to go over to talk to about Jesus again. That's going to overlap the time period. Okay? You see what I'm saying here? So it's not in precise. He didn't wait until after Jesus was born to tell us about John growing and becoming strong in spirit and living in the desert until the day of his public appearance in Israel. He put it right here about where he talked about his birth, see? So he puts related things together, and then he'll have to go out of time order to go back to cover Jesus again, okay? So even though Luke says it's in order, it's a loose order, okay? You understand. In fact, the translation doesn't necessarily mean time order, just organized, okay? All right. Well, praise the Lord for the prophetic ministry of John the Baptist, amen? Amen. And for others, like myself and others, that, and you, who can tell people about the Jesus that people need to know, right? Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing a song. Heavenly Father, thanks, Lord, for this day. Thanks, Lord, so much for John the Baptist and for this miracle birth of John and the future birth of Jesus that we'll see soon. And Lord, we thank you that even though Jesus is the light, we also are a light in this world. We thank you for giving us Jesus that we may be lights also. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.